Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I wish you were dead. That's a strong statement, isn't it? And hurtful. Deeply hurtful. I can't imagine ever saying that to someone or having someone say those words to me, especially someone who I deeply love and care about. And the thought of one of my children saying those words to me, that's hard to even comprehend. But that is the situation in our gospel reading this morning, as Jesus tells the parable of the lost son, or the prodigal son, as it has traditionally been labeled. The story starts out with a younger son of a certain man coming to him and asking for his share of the inheritance. Now, that at first glance doesn't seem so horrible or hurtful, just kind of rude and presumptuous. That is, until you think about what must take place in order for an inheritance to be given. Somebody has to die. In this case, that someone is the son's father. And so, in essence, what this boy was saying to his dad by asking for his inheritance was that he wished his dad was dead. For most dads, that would have been enough to get the son written out of the will. But not this father. Because this father's love for his son was not dictated by, nor was it dependent upon, the obedience or the attitude or the actions of the son. He loved his son unconditionally. And so he gave to his son what he had always intended to give to his son upon his own death, that being half of all that he owned. Well, you know the rest of the story. The son goes off and wastes his inheritance on wild living until he finally ends up broke. So he hires himself out to someone and ends up feeding the pigs, something especially heinous to a Jew. After realizing how awful his life had become, how much better even his father's hired men and servants had it back at his own home, he makes the decision that he's going to go back to his dad and ask if he might be hired on as one of his dad's hired men. But when the father saw his son coming from a distance, he is filled with compassion for him, and he runs out to him, and he embraces him, and he welcomes him back into his home. And welcomes him back not as a servant, but as his son, with the full honor and rights of sonship. So overjoyed was this father to have his son back home, safe and sound, that even threw his son a welcome home party, that everyone might come and rejoice and celebrate with him. All of which reminds me of Jesus' words, "There is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." This parable is often called the parable of the lost son or the prodigal son. But I think that name is a little bit of a misnomer. Because you see, the son isn't really the subject of this story. He isn't even the main character. The father is. Because the point of the story is not about the waywardness or the foolishness of the son. It's not even about the repentance of the son. The point of the story is about the love of the father. A love so deep and so constant and so unconditional that he would give a son who wished he were dead still half of all that he owned. Who had welcomed this son back without any questions asked or any reprimand given. Who would restore him to a place of highest honor and respect. And thus perhaps, instead of calling this the parable of the lost son or the prodigal son, it should rightly be called the parable of the loving father. Because that is, after all, why Jesus told the tax collectors and the sinners this parable in the first place. He wanted them to know of the deep and the constant and the unconditional love that God, their heavenly Father, had for them. Even though the Pharisees had written off these two groups of people, the tax collectors and the sinners, as being unworthy of God's love, Jesus knew differently. And he wanted these rejects of Judaism to know differently also. And Luke wrote down this parable for us to read some 2,000 years later because he wanted us to know differently too. No matter how closely we can identify with this lost son or not, there is a message for us here in this parable. And that message is that God, our Heavenly Father, loves us with a deep and constant and unconditional love. The eternal inheritance that he has waiting for us is not determined by our obedience or our actions or our attitude, but rather it is determined by the heart and the character and the love of God. His blessings are given to us as free gifts, not as earned rewards. Gifts that have been reserved for us on account of the death and the resurrection of God's own Son, Jesus Christ. Because of God's love for us, he sent his Son into this world for us. And because of his Son, Jesus' sacrifice for us, we have been forgiven of all of our sins. And whether we are living as the wayward son or as the obedient son matters not as to the love that our God has for us. Such is the love of the Heavenly Father. Though I wish you were dead may not be words that any of us have ever spoken to anyone else or ever spoken to God. Yet our actions and our attitudes have often sent messages to God loud and clear to let him know just how many things in our lives that we put before him. And while that may be more than enough for many earthly fathers to turn their backs on us, God, our Heavenly Father, never does. In fact, because of Jesus, he is anxious to forgive us and quick to restore us. When we simply come to Him in repentance and say, Father, I have sinned against You. So great is the love that the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called the children of God. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.